William Barclay wrote in his commentary on the Gospel according to Luke, "A minister sees men at their best. A lawyer sees men at their worst. A doctor sees men as they are. Luke saw men and loved them all." Today, we begin our journey with Luke, who is commonly referred to as the physician, a companion of the Apostle Paul, who is the writer of both the Gospel according to Luke, as well as believed to be the writer of Acts. And as we begin our journey into the Gospel of Luke, I do encourage you to join me in reading it throughout this Lenten season and reading all of it, which is partly why we have that reading plan in the welcome table as well as online and all of those other accompanying pieces. Because the hope is that in reading the full story, we may begin to understand more deeply what it means to see one another and love them all, just like Luke. Now, for us, our understanding of the word love is a complicated piece, right? Because the English word love gets used for so many different aspects of love. And often, what we use the word love for can be as simple as, I love ice cream and I love my husband. We use the same word. We mean different things. The language is insufficient. So I want to take a little bit of time this morning as we begin our journey into the gospel with that understanding that it is grounded deeply in a lens of love, both for the love that God has for us as well as the love that we are to extend to the world, is a little bit of a deeper and richer understanding of that lens that Luke shares, especially when it comes to seeing one another with love. Now, although Luke is believed to have been what they referred to in the New Testament as a Gentile, as in he didn't grow up Jewish, Luke makes sure to carry over and extend a deep, rich tradition that is based in Judaism as expressed by Jesus, and uses many of the concepts and the beliefs about the character and nature of God that is part of our Old Testament and expressed then in ways that are meant to be accessible to us. And so one piece that I want to lift up to us as we think about the nature of God and God as being loving is an understanding of the Hebraic notion of God as being loving and compassionate. In particular, a key aspect of God as being loving is summarized in Exodus 34, but rephrased just dozens and dozens of times throughout the Bible, but I share this as one example of kind of a cornerstone that the people who were Jewish in Jesus' time would have seen this as something they would have had memorized and really had deeply in their heart on the nature of God, especially in God being loving. And this is what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. The Lord, a God who is compassionate and merciful, very patient, full of great loyalty and faithfulness, showing great loyalty to 1,000 generations, forgiving every kind of sin and rebellion, yet by no means clearing the guilty. So for the Jewish people, they had this deep understanding of God. And that for God to be loving, it meant that God was gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And that is a refrain that we continue to hear echoing throughout the law, the prophets, the Psalms, you name it. It is just deeply embedded in those Jewish scriptures. And we find this sense, and this theme song of God being gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, presented in the person of Jesus, especially as Luke presents him to us. And for these next few weeks, as we read all of the gospel according to Luke, of Luke together, I encourage us to kind of keep that refrain in our mind. So that way we can reflect and question and deepen what we think that means, that God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And because today is the beginning of our journey, I'm not going to answer all the questions for you. I'm going to make you do a little bit of your own work, because of course we'll have it all figured out by Easter, right? We'll have it totally figured out, totally figured out. You know, I joke about that a little bit, but my hope and my real sense is that when we make that commitment and put ourselves before God, especially in reading the scriptures earnestly, God will speak to you. You will be given insight, and you will have a deepening understanding of what it means for God to be gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Now, as we consider this and the kind of the nature of God and these attributes of who God was for the Jewish people as well as for us as Christians, I thought it was very fitting then that we had our scouts come forward to say, a scout is. Okay, who can actually, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do I have any scouts that can remember those names? And if so, let's see if you can say, a scout is trustworthy. Another? Loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind. Scott, the worship leader should just kind of come back up here and say it again, right? And the last one, of course, is reverent. Yes. And I think it's very fitting, right, that for whether or not you were a scout or had a child in scouting, naming those attributes are aspirational. You don't necessarily start out that way at the beginning of the journey. You may not even feel like you have really even made it, even if you make it all the way to Eagle Scout. However, they are important to name and claim because they continue to be something you are aiming for, right? In who you are and how you want to interact with the world. Now, the difference for us is that we don't always make the mark, but we know God always makes the mark, right? We don't have to worry about if God is compassionate and merciful. But it is important for us, whether we are considering, you know, the attributes of what our life is meant to be and how that informs us and the character of who we are becoming, it is important to name who God is, because those characteristics should be part of who we become. And that as we look at God being gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, that is meant to be part of the attributes that we are called to take on. And of course, Jesus is not only our Savior, but the one who helps to show us the way as to what it means to live out those attributes. And of course, we know that God does not expect us to hit the mark all the time, but does delight in our efforts and in just providing that space to let God be those things in our life and to try our best and do all the good we can. And so as we think about those attributes of God, and as we think about our scouts and kind of who they're aiming to be, we remember that in our journey this Lenten season, not only are we going to discover something deeper about who God is and the nature of God's character, but my hope is that we also begin to discern and understand more about the character God has placed in each and every one of us to become gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And just like the scouts, it's important that all those attributes stick together. It is very easy and tempting for us to want to pick one or two that maybe we are naturally good at or just would prefer and get rid of the rest, right? Like, I am really good at being helpful, but maybe I wasn't very kind. You know, that doesn't work if you don't continue to keep them together. And so we remember, too, in this journey that we're about to take with reading the Gospel of Luke, the importance of keeping all the attributes together, both for our own lives of wholeness, but also as we look at the nature of God. Because when we begin to isolate and disembody one attribute from the other, they don't tend to make sense for very long when they are just kept in isolation. And sometimes even a good attribute, when taken just on its own without the others to support it, can get misshapen pretty quickly. And I think I gave that example of, you know, maybe being helpful but not kind, tongue in cheek, but I think we can see how that plays itself out in our lives as well as how it plays itself out, for instance, in theological expression. When maybe a tradition or a local church or a pastor gets excited about one piece and forgets all the others. And that unless we have them all together, like a great and wonderful choir singing in harmony, it gets out of tune and it can get kind of strange pretty quickly. And when we think about the attributes of God, being gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, as we go through the Gospel of Luke, you will find that those attributes are all presented in different ways, and that some of them are going to be stories that you are excited to read, and you want to read, and you just love to read, and you would just be okay with just that one story for the rest of your life. And that is wonderful when it helps to deepen your faith. And I encourage you also, though, to read the parts that make you feel uncomfortable and sit with that, especially the ones that maybe you find confusing or troublesome. And not be too quick to dismiss them as antiquated. I think one of the great disservices we have done with this, and especially the mainline and United Methodist denomination, is to dismiss things that we think are outdated simply because they are, and not spend more time really discerning and reaching in to how is God speaking through that today. And maybe that it has something to teach me about the nature of God that really can be transformative. And maybe it will have something to teach me about the character of my life that will allow me to mature and be sanctified. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, as you read it, you will find, as I said, some of your most beloved stories. That's where the best Christmas story is, right? The one we love to read. It's where we are going to be able to enjoy the Good Samaritan and the prodigal son. All of our favorite parables are in Luke. And in addition to some of the best stories, Luke has some of the best songs or poetry. And songs are a great way to remember the themes. That's why they call them theme songs, right? And today is Luke's theme song. And so for those of you who are maybe a little more familiar in reading the Gospel of Luke, kind of that extra challenge I encourage you to do as you think about the nature of God, the character of God, and how Luke presents that as being gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, I also invite you to take Mary's song with you. This is a song that Cheryl just read for us. We usually read it during the Christmas season, and it comes at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke. Of course, it is attributed to Jesus' mother, Mary, who sings this song to her cousin Elizabeth as a sense of gratitude for what God was doing in her life. And it is a beautiful song. And for those of you who pray the Liturgy of the Hours, you may even pray this song every day. I pray this song every day as part of my daily prayer. And we give thanks that Mary sings it, of course. And the reason that so many people pray it every day is because it contains, especially in the Gospel according to Luke, the themes of what Luke is trying to tell us about how our lives look when we feel like God is fully present in our lives. When we feel connected to God, when we are excited about what God is doing, when we have our gaze upon God, and when we are trying to describe who God is, we have this song from Mary. And there are some parts of this song that are really fun to sing and that you might find really a special phrase of yours. And there are also going to be some parts of this song that you may wish had been cut out because they are uncomfortable. Or even worse, that maybe you have experienced people taking parts of the song out of context and using it like a stick to get their own agenda in the way, right? That's bad theology, to take one part out and not include the rest. So what I'd like us to do, for those of you who are feeling up to it, is as you read the Gospel of Luke, I encourage you to especially take Mary's song and pray it as you continue to read the Gospel according to Luke, and to look at how those stories inform and kind of deepen what the song is speaking about and what it means to portray God and even our own lives as gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And Mary's song, just to read it one more time, of course, is this. And if I had to describe the Gospel of Luke, I would use Mary's song. So let's hear these words one more time. Mary said, "With all my heart, I glorify the Lord. In the depths of who I am, I rejoice in God my Savior. He has looked with favor on the low status of his servant. Look, from now on, everyone will consider me highly favored because the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He shows mercy to everyone from one generation to the next who honor him as God. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered those with arrogant thoughts and proud inclinations. He has pulled the powerful down from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. He has come to the aid of his servant Israel, remembering his mercy, just as he promised to our ancestors, to Abraham and to Abraham's descendants forever." So there you have it. We have our reading assignment for Lent to allow Luke, the one who saw all people and loved them all, to be our guide as we encounter a God who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And we have our theme song, Mary's song, to join us in the journey, to have that poetry and that power permeate into our lives, to make us uncomfortable, and to help set us anew in our life with God and in our understanding of what it also means to become like Jesus here and now. And most of all, as we begin our journey, we of course give thanks that we do all of this because it is Jesus himself who has extended himself freely and fully to each and every one of us to show mercy and favor, to let each and every one of us know how deeply and desperately we are loved by God. And just like those attributes that sit in the Bible about God, or just like those attributes that are shown by our scouts, these are attributes that God longs for us to have, to hold, and to share with the world. May those attributes be deepened, encouraged, and allowed to come to its fullness, so that the joy of Easter may be more than a few hollow words, that they may be within our hearts, and all may know that Jesus is here. Thanks be to God. Amen.